This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are tuned into Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today. It's the terrible threesome.
Hey, mm-hmm. Rich. My name is Jeff Landu.
And I'm Arvind Yuvraj.
Oh, my gosh. I'm outnumbered already. Now, we have some stories lined up for you today, of course. We have a little bit of updates from the Apple WWDC 2017, followed by virtual reality and shopping, moving on to Wikipedia, some floating solar panels, we're going to the moon, and a few other bits and pieces.
And I just want to say thank you for skipping WWDC's topic for yesterday's BizBytes,
right.
And you allow me to come on to the show to talk about it, because I'm going to actually rephrase. I'm not going to talk about it, I'm going to rant about it. Okay.
You see, this is the beautiful thing. We saw the news coming out, and we were like, well, we don't know exactly what we want to talk about. Regarding it, and we thought, well, you know, we should probably throw it over to a tech guy who's anti-Apple to find out what kind of stories are out of it.
Okay, so let's just pick the biggest update that happened in WWDC.
According to you, there were none.
So, yeah, there were none. Unfortunately, there were really just very poor, from my perspective, it's just really poor announcements. Nothing major, nothing surprising. And that fact that it's not surprising doesn't surprise me as well, if that makes any sense to you.
Oh, you cynic.
So, no. Okay, so hear me out. I'm not just talking about Apple who make announcements and stuff. Generally, in the tech sphere, a lot of companies who made announcements have not really been surprising, because we've sort of reached that stage or that, you know, level of innovation that it's now just incremental evolution. So, you know, instead of a brand new revolution in that sense, right? So
he's practiced that phrase before, right?
No.
So it was a good phrase.
It was a good phrase.
Well, I like that.
Trademark, by the way.
Okay.
So one of the most interesting thing is, of course, Apple's HomePod speaker.
Right.
And this is because we've all seen, you know, or at least heard about the Amazon Echo, and then there's, you know, the Google Home as well. So Apple clearly wants to get into this game because they have Siri as well.
Right.
So Rich, you're an iPhone user.
Oh, here we go.
Do you? No, I'm not going to be grilling you. Come on, this is not the Breakfast Grill. This is the Biz Bytes segment on a Tech Thursday.
I am indeed an Apple user.
And
yes.
How often do you use Siri, Rich?
I very rarely use Siri because I don't have a speaker at home that could do all the things that I want it to do for me.
Ah, so does this then fit your bill?
If this worked properly and is available fully in Malaysia, unlike some of the other ones that we're mentioning, then I could be tempted to use something like this. I mean, I like the idea behind it.
Mm-hmm. Right, so basically, your answer is, I have no idea what it does, because it just, like...
I kind of know what it does.
Yeah, so the thing is, Apple themselves were very quiet in terms of what the speaker could do. We all know what Amazon Echo could do, what Google Home could do, and, you know, it links up with, you know, your Nest systems, your whole, you know, IoT systems and all. But Apple was, you know, they just sort of give you the basic stuff of what it could do. And I don't see how this is better than the Amazon Echo, which I think a lot of people in the US, because this is catered to the US, right? A lot of people in the US would already have an Amazon Echo device, which is probably the standard when it comes to a home smart assistant. And then you've got, you know, Google Home, who's trying to compete as well. Obviously, you know, there's a big competition going on. Mm-hmm. But Apple's, you know, this HomePod speaker, I guess time will tell. When they announce more stuff, maybe then we'll know. Right now, it will come in two colors. So, yeah, there you go. But that
looks like they're pretty much copying what Amazon and Google have been doing.
It's overlapping, perhaps.
No, it reminds me of what...
Overlapping.
Wait, hold on. Right.
That is...
If we're looking at Amazon and we're looking at Google as well, and now we have, obviously, the third player, all three of them are pretty much doing the same thing, right?
Yeah. And it's good
Overlapping is justified.
It's good for the ecosystem that everyone is jumping into this, because it only takes one person to then sort of crack the code of the innovation code and do something completely different.
Right.
And become the home assistant.
Yes. And then the other thing is, which I thought was pretty cool, is the new iMac. the iMac Pro, I think, right? So that looked really cool because it comes in this really, you know, Darth Vader-looking kind of color.
It looks slick.
It looks really, really nice. And it's just full of, like, you know, high-spec features and stuff. I'm not going to go into, like, the full details of, you know, it's got 5K and 18 cores. I am going into the details anyways because I enjoy it, all right? Okay, so it's got 4 terabytes of SSD. It can go up to, like, 128 gigabytes of ECC memory. That's twice as fast as what the current iMac can do.
You
so,
see...
great stuff.
A lot of people at home are going, it sounds wonderful. It Tell sounds, me how much it is.
Your kidney and your leg.
That is what I was worried about. I mean, I looked at it and went, oh, that's pretty. It's got to be expensive.
It is
And
expensive.
I was right.
I mean, you only need one kidney, so.
That's true. Yeah, yeah,
technically, one leg as well. So, well, kidney and a leg, because it costs $4,999 US.
To start with,
it starts with that. So if you're going to, you know, go full spec with this, wow, both kidneys here we're looking at probably.
You're looking at a huge amount of money, right?
It's a lot of money.
20,000 ringgit to start off with, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, and obviously there's also, you know, the MacBooks, they get a refreshed as well. The MacBook Pro is going to be, you know, the price is going to drop. The current iMac is also, the price is going to drop. So nice stuff, but you know, nothing groundbreaking. And then we come to the parts that I just felt it was weak. In terms of the announcements, like there's a new iOS 11, the update they announced, so like, you know, improved speech for Siri, translation capabilities, which is cool. It's all right. I mean, it's nice that, you know, Siri can translate immediately and all. And the one thing that I just couldn't stand that they made this as an announcement on stage in front of, you know, in front of hundreds of medias and thousands of people watching this, is that they announced that iMessage now stores in iCloud and you can now sync into a new device if you buy a new iPhone or buy a new iPad, it syncs your old iMessages into the new device. And how is that a feature? Syncing is a new feature that you announce on a world stage like this. It's 2017. If it's 1999, it's fine that you announce I can now sync both devices. WhatsApp has been doing this for so many years now. They didn't come out and shout about it in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And Apple just makes it sound like it's revolutionary that they're doing this with iMessage. You're like, hey, Apple, like WhatsApp within your ecosystem does that as well.
Right.
You don't need to shout about this. This should just be something in the press release.
I mean, we were discussing this kind of outside of the studio. As you know, the WWDC used to be this thing that even you, back in the day, would sit and watch it live.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I loved it.
Because we were waiting for these great announcements.
Exactly.
And that final, oh, and one more thing.
None of that.
It's lost its sheen. Are Apple losing their way? Is that what's happening?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Tim Cook. I was a huge fan of Steve Jobs. Hence, I would stay on, like, you know, two, three in the morning to just watch your keynote speeches. And it was so good. Now, though, it just kind of feels... Oh. But having said that, it's not just Apple that I've sort of, you know, stopped watching these live streams. It's even Google's I.O. as well. I just, you know, decided to call it a night, wake up the next morning, catch up on the news instead. Maybe because I'm growing old. I'm not sure, but...
Wait, there's you didn't make a dig at me.
No,
actually said you were growing old.
Well, because you've not watched any since the last 10 years. Right, Rich?
I've not been able to see Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, just very quickly then, on the there's also the iPad Pro that was announced.
Who cares?
Exactly. Okay, so moving on. And then the new Mac OS, it's called High Sierra.
Again, who cares?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what's more interesting, one of the interesting things about High Sierra is the Safari update. Now, just to tell you a little bit, this will be something that marketers hate when they see what, you know, Safari could do now, because it has this new, you know, block site tracker protection, and, like, you know, it will stop videos from auto-playing. It's great as a consumer. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love ad blockers and I love those stuff. But as a marketer, this is just another roadblock that you face now. So
I disagree. And I'll tell you why.
Why? Hmm.
Because these marketeers will be paying Apple a certain fee to allow certain ads to come through.
And that is what I don't like about it, is that why does Apple sort of now own me instead of me just owning my own thing? Let me be able to dictate what I want to share and what I want to do. Because... Apple is coming out, and this is how they're very clever in their messaging. They're coming out in saying the right things, like, you know, we're going to do ad blocker protection for your Safari, for your browsing. We're going to make your digital footprint protected, and, you know, you have the power. But they're also doing exactly the same thing what marketers are doing, which is milking off the data from you, because they're now tracking your iMessage, they're tracking your Apple Mail, mm-hmm. they're tracking your photos, and you will see ads based on that, and Apple is using it. So it's just kind of like Apple saying like, hey, since I have a lot of users who are generating a lot of footprint on my ecosystem, why are advertisers, you know, can come in and steal this stuff? I'm going to shut the DAO down. If you want to get any, you pay me. So that's not quite the right way.
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, just be clear, like, you know, hey, so we're going to shut this down because we feel like, you know, a lot of things are leaking out. So we're closing this ecosystem. It's a way of protecting you, but we're just sort of, you know, making this a bit more structured in the sense, framework for advertisers.
The guy who was one of the co-creators of Mozilla's Firefox as well, he's moved on to develop a web browser called Brave, which uses blockchain technology and one thing or another. But it also does the same thing.
Mm.
You know, it gives you this wonderful advertisement of how now you are in control of your content, your websites will load faster, your ads are already automatically cut out. When in reality, they're doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can then choose to donate to your favorite advertisers.
Mm.
You know, stuff like that. It's crazy how things have changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just waiting for next year when Apple announces ringtones
for
their phone, you know.
Right.
Yeah. All right. And very quickly, the other thing that I have sort of like a thing that I need to mention is how the audiences in a conferences like this would applaud to anything, literally anything, because one of the update for High Sierra.
I know what's coming.
Yeah. One of the updates for High Sierra is in the Photos app, you now have a permanent sidebar.
Wow.
And then what you got...
Wait, hang on. Let's give him a quick round of applause for that. Well done. Well done,
that
Apple.
That was exactly what happened when they announced, oh, your Photos app has a permanent sidebar. And everyone starts cheering. What an age are we living on? It's 2017. A new sidebar doesn't excite me at all. It doesn't even belong on a stage because that stage is sacred, though. I was a big, big Apple fan. And I feel like Apple is just kind of like mocking people like us and like people who know about it. Because if you've been living in a cave, you would think that, wow, Apple is just, you know, beyond breaking grounds and, you know, doing crazy innovations and doing wonderful stuff. But, they're not, though.
Mm.
The VR thing that they showed off, nice, but it's been done 4 years ago. We've seen this before. It does it need, like, you know, 1,000 people applauding and, like, going, like, woo, and, like, cheering on? And, like, come on, we've seen this before. It's cool, but...
They can do more. They can do much better.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to take a short break.
Yeah, so this is Smashing Pumpkins with a song called 1979. It's a tribute to my brother. So here you go, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious free minds. Woo! BFM 89.9.
Woo! Woo, indeed.
You are tuned into Enterprise BizBuys with me, Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Jeff Sandu.
Over here is
Arvind Yuvraj.
So, Jeff, have you cooled down a little bit?
Yeah, just before I completely let go of this ranting thing, you know, if you've got an Apple Pencil, you know, sometimes you might be wondering, it's like, oh no, where did I keep this really expensive pencil that I don't use at all? Well, Apple has also announced a £29 leather pencil case that could hold your pencil.
Please tell me it's hand-stitched.
I have no idea, Richard.
£29.
£29 for your... Okay. Yeah.
All right, so we'll move away from Apple for a little while, Jeff, just to give you a bit of breathing space. Right?
All right.
We want to move to the dark web.
The dark web.
Arvind, what's this about?
Yeah, so you know when you hear about the dark web, normally you think about drug dealers and all sorts of illegal activities that shouldn't be happening.
Yes.
The dark web is basically like a place on the internet that lives a few surfaces under your normal web. So it's like...
It's the ledge beyond the edge.
Yeah, it's the internet underworld.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so it sounds basically...
Only accessible by very few.
Yes.
By very few, using very special browsers.
Very special browsers, yeah.
But apparently, Wikipedia wants to be on the dark web. Not Wikipedia. This guy called Christian Consoni.
Mm.
Consoni, he's the former vice president of Wikimedia Italy.
That was his name, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was his name.
Consoni from Italy.
Yeah, see, it threw me off. So he proposed that Wikipedians, what Wikipedia users are called, he wants to give them access or the ability to access Wikipedia in the most secure way possible, and that is to let them access Wikipedia on the dark web. It'll basically be a hidden service, also called an onion site. And the dark web version will only be accessible via the Tor browser.
Yeah, so which leads me to, I think, probably needs a bit of explanation. So Tor browser is a very popular browser among activists, among people who are living in countries that have a lot of restrictions on the internet, mm-hmm. because Tor is one of those browsers. Tor is a network, yep. and they created a browser that enables you to sort of spoof your digital footprint, or you know,
your
sort
IP
of allows
address.
You, yeah, your IP address, so that yeah. you know you are you are not where you are in that sense, right?
And the term onion is there because there are many layers.
Many layers, okay. right? So making Wikipedia through the Tor browser is a good idea, but it's not like the most safest way mm-hmm. because you could still actually track the user because you have to access the Tor browser, so you still have your initial footprint itself.
You've got a node you need to go.
Yeah,
right?
So yeah, because it now goes through nodes, and you can still detect the trace, the start of the node. If the whole the whole service is completely transferred into the dark web, then it's completely different. Yeah.
So, Arvind, why does he want this to happen? Do we know?
I mean, he's saying that because a lot of countries censor Wikipedia or portions of Wikipedia. So right. you have countries like China or Russia. So they choose to censor certain parts of Wikipedia, or they just censor it completely.
Even the UK and France does. Even the US has had a...
Everyone does it to a certain extent.
Yeah. So what he's saying is that activists or people who want to have access to the whole encyclopedia should be able to do it without any restrictions. So putting Wikipedia on the dark web completely without any of these exit nodes will give people that ability to access it. And authorities or governments wouldn't be able to track them and give them that
right.
sort of safety.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the only downside I see of that is if it's on the dark web and the majority, I assume the majority of Wikipedians mm-hmm. or whatever the editors call themselves nowadays are probably not on the dark web, you know, and to kind of get at it then and alter something that needs to be altered, perhaps they have to run through all of these hoops to do all of that kind of stuff. And I don't know how it...
I guess, but I don't know how many people are actually on the dark web already who would want this information. I mean, activists, I'm assuming they would be on the dark web. They would need to use it to stay undetected. So, I mean, they would find this useful. Other people can still use the normal Wikipedia. It's these people that he wants to cater to. But he's also saying that he wants to give the Tor browser like a better reputation, because now when we think of it, we think of, like what I said, we think drug dealers, illegal activities and all that stuff.
Yeah, and actually, this wouldn't be like the first, public service that will move or clone itself into the dark web, because Facebook themselves have done it as well. In 2014, they launched a version that runs on Tor. And ProPublica, it's a non-profit investigation journalism outlet, they followed the same footstep as
well. I know it well. I know people who use ProPublica,
And for me, like, I don't see any downsides of just, you know, having a presence in the dark web, because when you have more of these companies, you know, services and platforms that go onto the dark web, hopefully it would give the dark web a better image. Or, you know, just so, because right now, like as Arvind mentioned, the dark web just feels something like you want to stay away from, because, you know, you will get into trouble and there's just so many things going on. Cryptocurrency came out from the dark web. There's a lot of innovations that's happening within the dark web that is just too risky to be out in the public. However, there is a benefit. There is a need for this. It's just, it needs to be controlled.
Change is inevitable.
Yes.
I'm just happy that, you know, I was able to access Wikipedia when I was in school. If not, none of my assignments would have been done. It's just copy-paste.
Richard was just happy he could access the calculator during his school days.
This is true. Yeah. One of the old school ruler ones.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'll talk to you after the show.
Right.
We've got a song coming up. What have we got, Jeff? What do you want?
Well, this is Oasis with Wonderwall, just simply because I thought, you know, it's a great song. And again, it's a tribute to someone that I really love. So here you go.
Busy following Money Trail. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes with me, Rich Bradbury. Over here is...
Jeff Sandu.
Over there is...
Arvind Yuvaraj.
So we've had stories so far about the WWDC from Apple. We kind of skipped over that, Jeff, didn't we? No, we didn't, did we? Jeff was just banging his drums and all kinds of stuff. Make sure if you missed any part of the podcast, you may want to have a listen back to that a little bit later on. Of course, it's available at bfm.my/podcast. Also on the app that's available
and
in...
CarPlay.
Mm-hmm. I was going to get to that, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Those who are driving the Volkswagens, the BMWs, the Mercedes,
all the ones, the fancy
ones,
right?
Download the BFM CarPlay app.
Yeah. Okay, man. Right. So, Arvind, Not too long ago, you know, we would have been discussing things about China and how dirty their air is, and, you know, and how polluted certain cities are, and you know, how many of the world's most polluted cities are in fact in China. And we would have been having that discussion, right?
We even had that piece about how people in China were going on vacations overseas just to get clean air
and buying fresh air
and
in cans.
Buy fresh air, yeah,
fresh air in bottles.
However, something different today, right?
Yeah. So you know how we always speak about Elon Musk, and he bought SolarCity for $2.6 billion,
yeah.
I think. So he has his own ventures, and then there's like solar powered ventures all over the world. But then stuff happens in China very quietly.
Right.
So when this pops up, it's a bit surprising. There is this, the world's largest solar plant, largest in the world, is finally online in China. It's called the SunGrow Solar Plant.
It's the world's largest floating
solar
plant. That's even more special than just a solar plant. This is a floating solar plant.
Yeah, and there's so many good things in this piece alone, in this story alone. So one is that it's a floating solar plant. The other one is that it's the largest, and it floats. It is where coal used to be mined.
Right.
So they're using the same space where they used to mine coal, one of probably the most polluted locations, like these places where all the gases emit from, to build something that is in the other end of the spectrum.
That's pretty smart.
It's smart.
That's smart thinking there.
Yeah. It's smart. So it's also poetic.
The water now has been mineralized and, you know, mostly, you know, useless before, and now, you know, probably, you know, over time it may change.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we know that they've been heavily reliant on fossil fuels for an awful long time, and the cities that they have, you know, you've got loads and loads of cities, more than 100 cities with a population of at least 1 million.
Yeah.
So we know that they're heavily reliant on, they need a lot of electricity, right?
They do. And but the thing is, why this plant is called floating is because it's afloat in water 4 to 10 meters deep, and it's successfully linked to Huainan, which is China's grid.
Mm, right.
Yeah, so the surrounding land basically collapsed, and then it created like this hole, like this cavity that was filled with rainwater afterwards.
Mm.
So it allows this plant to float on top of it. The water, and the logic behind it is also pretty cool, because the water naturally cools the system and the ambient temperatures, and improving the generation and limiting long-term damage from the heat.
Brilliant.
Just really smart, you know.
And very smart.
And I've no idea, like, you know, how much China have spent in, you know, building something like this. But, you know, going back to what you mentioned, Richard, about how, you know, a few years ago, we would be talking about the pollution in China and, like, you know, how they're so aggressive in trying to, you know, overtake the America in some ways, about, you know, in the industrial revolution, in that sense they're trying to be the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of factories that are, you know, polluting the water, the skies. Now though, it's a very different story in China. They are like one of the highest spenders in the world in green energy. They are one of the highest spenders in the world in, you know, renewable energy, in and utilizing smart technologies, you know, driverless vehicles, that they're testing their own IoT systems within traffic lights and roads, and they all talk to each other, so you save energy, you don't pollute the water, you don't pollute the skies. They're doing something what America should be doing, but of course we all know what happened over the weekend is that, you know, President Donald Trump decided to coffee-fe the Paris Agreement, right? So it's a clear shift.
I'm not entirely sure it's a verb, but, you know.
We've made it a verb.
It can be anything you want, right? So, like, it's just completely shown how the shift of dominance from the West has now moved to the East, and, you know, China is just
okay. I see your point, but what we have to understand is that for China to do something on a grander scale as this, it's much simpler. Right?
Yeah.
There are a few barriers to the Chinese government saying, okay, this is what we want to adopt, and we want to do it. You are, you know, your companies, we have a stake in, we want you to do this.
Mm.
Whereas in the West, obviously, there's a lot more kind of pushback.
Yeah, but for China to do something like this is difficult for them because of the scale that they are,
for
right?
For sure.
100 over cities, you know, a million people in each of these cities, more than 1 million, at least 1 million in one of these cities, you know, billions of people in China. If China thus managed to find ways to, you know, minimize the pollution by 1%, that's a huge percent in the overall global perspective because of the size that they are at.
No, I mean, people always speak about how China was maybe 50 years ago and then now, and how aggressively they've developed, and how much, you know, they had the closed doors policy, and now they've opened up. The thing about China is, whether you want to look at it positively or negatively, they have a no-nonsense approach.
Right.
When they want to do something, they just do it. When they have a problem, they just approach it. And then, I mean, not even in the pollution stuff, even the e-commerce side of things, how they're doing things. They basically, once they start something, they just go all out. out, and then they do it. And in a case like this, where they're building solar plants and stuff, it's good. It's the positive side of that aggressive nature that China has.
I think, you know, we're going to be talking about stuff just after the break as well, about China moving and innovating and doing stuff that the Americans have stopped doing, for
example. It's not just saving planet Earth, it's also, you know, helping, you know, to discover more about the universe as well, right?
They're heading to the moon.
Yes.
But not just that. I mean, now we've been talking about cryptocurrencies and we've been talking about green technology.
Yeah.
It's governments like Russia and China that are pushing these things forward, you know? It's like this huge paradigm shift where they've gone, hang on a minute, this new tech could actually help us all out.
I mean, we're not saying that, you know, oh, let's all follow China and all that, right? But follow what they're doing good at. They're doing great, like Arvin mentioned, they're doing great in the e-commerce space. And it's a great way that we here in Malaysia, we're following that footsteps. We're looking at Jack Ma and like finding out how he works and, you know, trying to replicate these models. And if China does, again, crack the code for, you know, green efficiency, you know, a pollution-free city, because if they could do it in their city, that's what we should follow, because that's only just, you know, helping planet Earth. All the politics aside, that's just, you know, something that it's really a personal thing. But in terms of the technology and how they're saving planet Earth, I think it's a great example. And if they do manage to find the, you know, crack the code, and when China does it, they would want is they would spend a lot of money doing this, and then they would find a way to make it cheaper to do the same thing. So, you know,
To mass produce it.
And, you know, if we just need to follow footsteps of people who are doing good, no matter where they come from. And it's just so happened that China is just sort of leading the way in, you know, green technology and IoT businesses. So,
all right. Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Nice little talk set there. Right. We have to take a very short break. We've got some Foo Fighters coming up with This Is a Call. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Best Future Marketeers, BFM 89.9.
It is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury.
My name is Jeff Sandhu.
And I'm Arvin Yuvaraj.
Right. So from floating solar panels.
We're still with China.
We're still with China, nice. Yes. A couple of China stories to wrap up the show. So they are making a preliminary preparation to send a man to the moon. This is according to their state media. They've cited a senior space official as saying the latest goal in China's ambitious lunar exploration program. In 2003, they became the third country to put a man in space with its own rocket, after the former Soviet Union and the US, of course. Now, they've set their eyes on getting to the moon first. Mm-hmm. We know they launched the Chang'e 3, which wasn't too long ago, and their Jade Rabbit.
I love the names. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I love the names.
They are so typically Chinese
names, and it's
right?
They should be proud of it, because, you know, NASA obviously calls all this, you know, Apollo and all these really cool names and stuff, right? But China is just going like, you know what, we're proud of our you know, heritage and culture, and like, you know, let's just call the Jade Rabbit rover.
Right.
And I guess Apollo is cool when it's in the US, so it sounds like Apollo. But when you come to Malaysia, you say Apollo, it sounds like the chocolate.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go there, because that was my childhood snack, Apollo. Oh,
bring it back to the story, fellas.
Sorry,
come on,
bring it back to Earth, you mean.
No, we're taking it to the moon.
Okay.
So what they've said is they plan to launch the first probe ever onto the dark side of the moon in 2018.
Yeah.
Which is
another milestone.
Right.
Because they've always just been on the light side
of
the moon.
Correct. And part of that reason is that radio signals are very difficult to get to the far side of the moon. So you're going to have a bunch of Americans saying, oh, what are those Chinese want on the other side of the moon?
Yeah.
You know, can't, you know, they're going to be hiding out there. What are they going to be doing?
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to be doing? We don't know.
But Yang Liwei, he's the Deputy Director General of China's Manned Space Agency, and he's also China's first man in space.
Mm.
You know, he said that, you know, it will not take long for the manned mission to the moon to get official approval and funding.
Of course not.
Of course not. You go like, of course not. Yeah. It's not hard to get funding in China. If you want to go to the moon, here you go.
Here you go. Here's
go
some,
ahead to
renminbi.
The moon. And why they're doing all this is like, if you kind of feel, which you mentioned about it to me privately early on, it's like they're trying to wipe out every single history that America has done.
Yeah.
Like they're doing exactly the same thing. They're probably going to do it better, which is, you know, going to the dark side of the moon instead of the light side. And like, you know, they're just completely doing things just so crazy. It's just very crazy.
They don't want to put their flag in the same place that the US has its flag.
That's it.
They want to go to the other side and put their flag there.
That's it. I mean, they're saying that they're going to be there by 2036, right? This is what they're saying. They're going to have boots on the ground. Mm. No, what do you mean? Ground boots on the lunar surface.
On the
By 2036. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, they're wanting to establish themselves as a space power. We know that.
Yeah. Right? And like you mentioned at the start, where, you know, they seem to be doing what America has seemed to stop doing. Although President Donald Trump loves space, and he wants to actually go to, you know, send people to Mars. And I don't know if he wants to go to the Mars. It would be great if he wants to go to Mars.
I think he's already there.
So America sort of cut back in terms of, you know, space exploration. I think NASA does have a bit more of a budget this year.
Lot more of a budget.
Yeah, because President Trump is, you know, fan. But overall itself, like, you kind of feel like it's sort of, you know, gone down over the number of years. Not just because of Trump. Like, Trump loves space. But China here is doing the same thing, because they're seeing what has happened in America in terms of the private space industry,
right?
That business, that tourism business, the space tourism business. You got companies like Virgin Galactic. You've got companies like SpaceX, These are private companies funded by multi-billionaires who have this ambition of getting space travel. It's like a vacation,
right?
Or even just do it for exploration to understand the universe more. If China is going to set up like a base and, you know, spend a lot of money and, you know, do a lot of approvals to get these things done and show that they have the capabilities of understanding how these things work, what makes you what's going to stop a SpaceX to go up to China and, like, we're going to build a hub here in China as well?
Right.
What's going to stop Virgin Galactic to be like, we're going to build? What's going to stop the people in China who are just, you know, producing crazy amount of, you know, technology in really small tiny devices? What is stopping them from producing their own space talent? And, you know, that industry itself in China is just going to be so big. So
it is absolutely going to be good. The problem is, though, as we all know, with many mainland Chinese tourists, you've got to be careful with them.
Yeah.
You know, heading over to the moon, I don't know.
I think there needs to be like a to do and you know, do not do,
not,
this.
Do not,
like, do not do this. Right. All right, it's almost time for us to wrap up the show. Great stories today, though. One last question. So we know that the Americans have the astronaut and the Russians have the cosmonaut.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Chinese one called? Come on, Jeff, I know you know.
Oh, I have no idea. Put me on the spotlight.
It's the Taikonaut.
The Taikonaut?
The Taikonaut.
See, even that sounds better.
Right? You
even
think
that
so?
Sounds better.
Well, it sounds familiar almost.
It sounds, I'm into pro wrestling, it sounds like a wrestler, so I think...
somebody bring Arvin back again tomorrow.
All right. Anyways, at 1 o'clock is the Breakfast Grill replay. Brian Greer, I hope I'm pronouncing this right. He's the president for ASEAN Honeywell. He was on the show this morning. And Honeywell is actually a well-established name here in Malaysia. They provide services in the oil and gas industry, building management systems, and also aircraft electronics. So they touched on the progress in expanding their footprint in the aerospace industry here in Malaysia. And that's coming up right after the news at 1 p.m.
Okay, and as per usual, just to let you know some of the stories that we've run through in case you want to recap, we started off with Jeff ranting about what happened at the Apple WWDC update 2017.
And then we moved into Wikipedians who want to be who want to access Wikipedia on the dark web.
And what else did we have, Jeff?
Well, we had, you know, China, basically, right?
We did,
everything
yes.
with China. You know,
floating
China,
solar panels.
Yeah, floating solar panels in China.
Oh, very cool. So. And then we finished off, of course, with China heading to the moon. We will be back again, folks, same time, same place tomorrow for Enterprise Biz Bytes. I've been Rich Bradbury.
And my name is Jeff Sandu.
This is
Arvind Yuvraj.
To take us out, of course, just a little bit of Frank Sinatra, of course. A little bit of Fly Me to the Moon. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.